welcome to Our Lot in Block 5, the podcast for Gooners by Gooners. And I've got Stuart Izzard. Now, Stuart, I want to have a word with you about your performance in the first half. Oh, he's just elbowed me! Hello, Stuart.
Good evening, Matthew. You okay?
No, I'm not okay. You elbowed me. And we've got John Reuben. Hello, John.
Hello.
So, here we are. 2-2. We've got a Desmond against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Last year, fighting for the league on the last day of the season. This year, fighting to beat us in the last minute of the game. It was a bit of a funny old game, really, wasn't it? I can't say I'm totally unhappy with how it went. It all seemed to be looking pretty doom and gloom at the end, but we managed to hold on, I feel like. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like if we had lost, it was inevitable that we were going to lose.
It's a bit disappointing.
It is disappointing,
but
yeah.
The way it went in the second half,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we could have easily lost that, quite frankly, especially right at the end.
When you think of the game at Emirates, it was pretty much the sort of the opposite of that. Really, we won the game possibly against the run of play in that game.
What you've got to understand with Liverpool, Matt, though, is, you know, they're not mugs. You know, turned over Man U 7-0, and Man U aren't as shy of a shite they were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
You know, they was on a decent run. Liverpool aren't mugs. It's just that every now and then, they switch off. And against us, they was fully on the ball, apart from the first 30 minutes.
Mm.
But, yeah, and I'm not going to go along with the, well, Xhaka hadn't done this, so this would never happen. It's bullshit. You can't blame Xhaka for anything. Xhaka just did what Xhaka did, and he's not the reason why Liverpool picked their game up. Liverpool picked their game up because they had no choice.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty insipid, really, weren't they, in the first part of the game, and it looked like, oh my God, we really might hammer them. Like, we might properly give them a hiding here. Because every time we came forward, we looked like we were going to score. The goals were going in quite simply, really. You know, Martinelli gets a little bit of luck for the first one, but fantastic finish. Sort of great awareness to toe poke it in. Second one, he puts one perfectly on the head of Jesus. And then,
you know what, though?
Before
Gabriel
that, Zinchenko sort of just turned around in his own, in the centre circle, has all the freedom to turn around and just leg it straight at them. Like, it seemed like they just hadn't turned up, really.
I'll tell you what, though, Gabriel was so close to stopping Salah's
goal. He did, yeah.
So, literally, it almost looks like he's passed a ball onto his foot from about a centimetre out. I mean, he was, you know, if that had been two more centimeters nearer, that wasn't going in.
No, he went to hook it away, so he did exactly the right thing.
Yeah,
he just hooked it straight into Salah's foot. It was a bit of bad luck, really. But they had, you know, they had a bit of good fortune. But I mean, there's only really one man to say about this game, and it's Aaron Ramsdale, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, three times in the second half, he made fantastic match-saving saves. You know, the first one from Salah, which is going across him, the second one where Salah's curled it to the far post and he's just got there, took a little deflection off Gabriel, managed to get fingertips to it. And then the final one, that one against Konate, who's just chesting the ball into the back of the net, an empty net by the looks of it, to be across that and brave enough to put himself in the way of that. He just saved that point, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, losing to Liverpool would have been a different matter, really. I think by coming out with a draw, we've got 4 points against a team who were champions the year before last, were a point away from being champions last year, And all right, they might have struggled this year at times, but, you know, as John said, they're not mugs. They are going to come out at some point in the game and start play.
I think we said when we was predicting our scores, and they're the third. They've got the third best home record in the Premier League.
Yeah,
you know, different if it had been at the Emirates and we drop points like that, especially from being 2-0 up. But to go to Anfield, where we haven't won for, is it 11 years or whatever? Yeah, the disappointment was the fact we were 2-0 up.
Yeah, with about 6 minutes to go, basically.
And then, yeah, they've come back into it.
With about 6 minutes to go, we're winning. It's about the only time I've seen Alexander-Arnold do anything decent in the Premier League this season, I think.
But
Zinchenko, you could tell, was absolutely gutted by being nutmegged by him. It was like just he knew that kind of led to the goal, didn't he? But yeah, it was, you know, there were other chances in Liverpool. Obviously, missed a penalty again. Funny moment on the touchline where Jurgen Klopp thinks it's gone in. I don't know what let him believe that it had gone in. Or maybe it was just a natural reaction that he's expecting him to score.
And then realises he's missed it. He's probably thinking at least he'll put it on target. And then Liverpool, listen, they didn't want to lose to us. They wanted to make a point, especially at home. It would have looked bad. Jurgen Klopp was coming out before the game saying it's me that's let this club down. You know, they were getting riled up for it. I've got my feeling, forget about the Granit Xhaka thing. Mm. It's almost like because of what the linesman fucking did was what riled him even more.
I mean, you could see him come out in the second half and running up and down the touchline. They were fired up in that second half.
Massively.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit of luck. They did get him back. I mean, it's easy to say that moment. I thought that Alexander-Arnold should have been booked more than Xhaka, really. Xhaka was a bit late, a bit silly, but you don't expect the player to get pushed over and for a confrontation to occur. But
no.
They know what they're doing. This has happened for the last few years we've been there. We had the sort of spat on the touchline, which caused it caused us last year to lose the game, I think, that we kind of started to lose our heads a little bit. And the same thing sort of happened, but we managed to get a point. And what can you say about that, really? It shows progress.
From a momentum point of view, okay, probably a bit disappointed after the game. Because of exactly what we've just said, you know, you've gone from 2-0 up and you've ended up dropping 2 points. But it's not like we've gone up there and they give us a fucking good hiding, Man United, because that could have been absolutely soul-destroying. You know, if we'd gone up there and, you know, you look over the last few seasons where...
When have we actually got a draw against them?
Within half an hour in some of these games we've had up there, under Wenger and stuff, we've been fucking 3-0 down in 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And you think, well, you're done. You know, you're just hanging on.
Yeah.
But at least it wasn't like that. So from a psychological point of view, yeah, maybe a little bit disappointed because they were 2-0 up, but it's not soul destroying. You know, it's not like we've got to go again and rebuild. You just get yourself ready now for West Ham. You're not. Okay, things didn't happen that maybe we wanted, but it wasn't a defeat, you know. And that's with the 8 games we've got left. You don't want to have to go to West Ham and then play Southampton and maybe drop points in those games, you know, where you're feeling a bit sorry for yourself and you get picked off and you maybe don't pick up maximum points. So, yeah, disappointing at the final whistle, but you can't knock the way we played again. I know second half they just came at us and they're always going to.
Yeah, we knew that though, didn't we, really? We didn't have any preconceived idea that we were just going to roll over. I mean, when it started to happen, you know, in that first half, you're thinking, oh my God, we are going to, this could be embarrassing for Liverpool. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, you remember when we went to Newcastle and were 4-0 up at half time?
Oh God, yeah.
And we were so all over them. And then they came back, but that was slightly different. I mean, that was soul destroying to be 4-0 up and to lose it from there, or not lose it, but get 4-4 from there. But
that was when Diaby got, was it Joey Barton got Diaby sent off? And
it was that Cheick Tiote, God rest his soul, who scored like an absolute screamer at the end.
Yeah.
Terrible, that game. but I think this time it was a 0.1. I'd like to think it was a 0.1, considering how the game was going in the second half. And the times we have capitulated completely in that situation, you only have to look at West Ham against Newcastle and how they capitulated. Who was it who played Palace? Leeds. Like, Leeds played Palace and got absolutely hammered, didn't they? Because just their heads dropped.
Yeah, but Leeds 1-0 up for the first half hour in that game. They could have been 3 or 4-0 up.
Yeah.
And then you think, oh, hang on, Palace have scored. This is a bit mad. And like you say, they just lost it. Second half, they just totally went to sleep and, yeah, they got hammered.
And it can go like that if your head goes. And there's that famous bit with Arteta saying to his players, didn't he, at Anfield, you know, we came up here and we lost 5-0 or 4-0 or something. My head went, and I knew my head had gone, and we just got rolled over. And you can't let that happen here. You've got to stay focused.
Yeah.
And you know, this time, I think, albeit that we gave away a penalty, all the things that happened to Liverpool at the Emirates really happened. You know, we've given away a penalty. They could have had a chance to win the game. They didn't take it where we did. So it's kind of 4 points against Liverpool. You wouldn't complain about that, really, would you? I suppose it's that thing of, like, you know, in the big in the really big games that we've potentially got left, if we can get a draw away at City and away at Newcastle, could that be the difference between us losing the league and winning the league now? You know, if we can share points with these teams rather than go out there and beat them, then they're not going to catch us, are they?
I think it's done. At the end of the day, we know it's going to go right down. It's going to go at the last game. I'm pretty sure it will. Whether we've got anything on,
I don't know if I've got the heart to do with it.
Yeah, I think it's going to go at the last game. Which, regardless, you know what I mean? I'm not sure where Man City are going on the last day of the season. Are they away? But if you had to pick, and I know Wolves beat Chelsea at the weekend, but if you had to pick a game, you know, or if you had to pick a fixture, Wolves at home wouldn't be one that you wouldn't fancy, would it? You know what I mean? And if you think that we need to go into that last game and win it, doesn't matter by any scoreline, if we just need to win that last game, and it doesn't matter what Man City do, and we win the league, then that's that. You want to be in that position. I'm sure Man City might be away at Brentford.
Away at Brentford, yeah. They've got Chelsea at home, the game before. So on the Saturday, they've got Chelsea at Saturday the 20th, they've got Chelsea at home. And then they've got Brentford away on the last day of the season.
Chelsea are done and dusted.
Yeah,
well, they got
so bad.
They do look bad, but you never know with Chelsea, do you, in that sort of situation where players are probably playing for their contract.
They probably played brilliant against us. So,
talking of which, though, they've just moved the fixture today, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah.
So it's moved from Saturday the 29th of April, R5 kickoff.
2nd of May.
Yeah, 2nd of May, Tuesday night, the day after bank holiday, 8 o'clock kickoff. Still on Sky.
What, we are? But,
yeah, it's been moved because of the police. Because the police have been told for the coronation weekend there's no leave and anything like that, they've obviously told them that by that weekend they must have taken leave and or whatever's owed to them. And they just said that there's not going to be enough old Bill to do a London derby.
To be honest, that ain't the worst thing in the world, because after we play City, it gives us a bit more of a break than like 3 days later we're straight in against Chelsea.
City are going to play their FA Cup semi-final on the Saturday before they play us. I know it's only Sheffield United, but it's still a big game. But they've got their Bayern Munich game on the Wednesday, the 19th. So they've got big games before they play us.
Oh, huge
games.
There's still a long way to go.
I mean,
like I say, we brought it into a close sort of, you know, we've done fucking well, let's face it.
Yeah.
We have said this on here. If anyone had said to you at the start of the season, with 8 games to go, if someone said to you, you've played the same games as City and you're 3 points clear with 8 games to go.
Mm.
I know we're 6 points, but they got the game in hand. But if someone said that to you back in August, you'd have fucking tore their arm off.
If you'd said to me you'd get 4 points against Liverpool, I would have torn your arm off as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like all of these things. If we can get anything against City,
We've scored 81 goals in all competitions this season. I can't remember last time we were anywhere near that.
Mm.
You know, we've had a good season, and I know. Yeah, potentially we can all come out of this so disappointed. But it's only because of what we've created ourselves this season, because none of us even thought we'd be anywhere near this. We were thinking, let's try and finish in the top four. Well, that's pretty much done now, the top four, as in, you know, Champions League football's coming back to the Emirates next season. And unless we really go to rat shit, but it is... It's been a fantastic season. I don't think
I'll be disappointed if we don't win the league. I think you just got to look at it and think, well, City are just an extraordinary team.
Yeah.
Yes, they are beatable, but they was beatable early doors. They've kind of just picked things up and just moved on and progressed massively. If you lose the title to City, and you finish 10, 15 points ahead of United or Newcastle, whoever's coming first, you say, well, it really ain't the worst thing in the world. You know what I mean?
No. And when you look at, and let's face it, the bloke's a fucking machine. That fucking thing they've got up top at Man City is just mental. 30 league goals already this season. It's, you know, if someone said to you, you won the league, he's going to end up on about 40-odd league goals this season, Haaland, unless they rest him in games because of Europe. But if someone said to you, well, the leading scorer in the league was Haaland and he got, you know, he broke a record or
has he got nearly 50 goals all told soon?
I think it's over 40 this season.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
he scored twice at the weekend, didn't he?
Was it twice at the weekend?
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, the other... couple of 3 weeks ago in Europe, Champions League, he got 5 out of the 6 goals.
Yeah.
The fucking bloke's a machine.
He's Ivan Drago. He's the Ivan Drago.
He is, John. Well done.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thing is, weirdly, you know, in some games, though, I feel like he is such a focus of their team that it's kind of let them down a bit, like where they haven't won. It's because they focus so much on him. And when if you do defend against him well and don't give him too many opportunities, you know he's going to get opportunities. But you think of like Rob Holding in the FA Cup, all over him, really, pulling him down, you know, giving the referee decisions to make. But at the same time, he didn't get a goal in that game, got pulled off. And
did he?
Yeah, well, I mean, Rob Holding was very close to him, wasn't he? Giving him a rusty trombone at one point.
got pulled off at half-time.
But, you know, it took sort of a defender to get a goal against us in that game, didn't it?
Yeah, and that's going to be obvious. It's going to be
a... We ran out of steam at the Emirates, didn't we? It was 1-1. We were good value for that, I think. We kind of weathered a storm. But when it got towards the last 15 minutes of the game, they just had too much all over the shop for us. Yeah, we couldn't hold on. So it's about holding on against them.
Yeah.
Finding a way to hold on.
It's going to be such a hard game at their place. But that could be, you know, the pivotal game. Don't lose that game. A bit like we're talking about with the Liverpool. Don't lose the game.
I just remember that game where Mark Overmars scored against Man United. He poked the ball through Schmeichel's legs, and that was the away game at Old Trafford. Mark Overmars down the wing, poked it in, 1-0. That's all it took, and we were on our way to a double then, weren't we? You just think of that sort of game where that was the crunch game. It was the big one. And we came, that was how we won it. You need some sort of 1-0 win. It would be amazing if we could do that.
I think, you know, obviously Arteta's got history with Man City being there as a coach.
Jesus.
But I remember... Yeah, Jesus says Zinchenko. And listen, it's going to be a game. Whatever happens, it's going to be a ding-dong.
Yeah.
But I remember watching the Amazon, what was it, All or Nothing. And Arteta had COVID, didn't he, when they came to the Emirates.
Yeah.
And they did a video link with him at his house. And he said, I'm really sorry I'm not going to be there today because today's the day we go to fucking war with this lot. And you just sort of, you know, that's how it's going to be. But we know Man City got fantastic players, and that for me is going to be what sets the time. I think if City win that, between, you know, I don't know what's going to happen between, you know, the fixtures beforehand, but if City win that, you've got to sort of think to yourself that they'll probably then win the title, you know. But if we win,
you've got to trust that, you know, that between a Jesus who's come. I mean, one thing: if Jesus scores, we know we aren't going to lose. So that's you know that that's going to happen. So, but the other thing is between Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli, these players have. These players are, you know, talked about like we have already won the league the way they're playing. So you've got to trust that these players can do something up there as well, that they are a different class this season.
And Arteta has been absolutely fantastic. You know, he doesn't let them rest on a win or, you know, I know people say, oh, they over-celebrate, and all bollocks to that. That's because of the team spirit, and that's because of what goes on, you know, during the week.
Yeah, you can't say that the Liverpool fans weren't like this when they were closing in on that title, even though it was in COVID. The scenes outside the ground and stuff and the flares and things when they were winning games.
Exactly. And like I say, we've got 8 games. We know where we are, where we knew where we were before we went to Anfield.
Yeah.
We had 9 games. You know, we've got another 8 games. I don't think you can fault us at all on Sunday. Yeah, certain things that we didn't do right and maybe not the best at times, but you're at Anfield. It's not just like you've gone to Fulham away or Southampton away and that's happened. It was a fucking big game and we didn't lose. That's the main thing that come out of it for me. We didn't lose the game and we just go again now. And it's, you know, everyone's got, well, Man City have got another, I think after tonight, they've got another 7 games this month as opposed to our 4, I think. You know,
yeah, so it makes a difference. Even if they beat us, it that doesn't mean they're going to beat the next team.
No, you know, and they've still got Brighton away, which is a game that hasn't been decided. You know, that there isn't a date for it yet.
Mm.
So Brighton away, I know we've still got to play Brighton. I feel at home, I feel with the crowd and the way we are at home as a support, I think it will see us, we'll be all right. But to have to go to Brighton, who might be chasing, you know, Europa League place or Europa League.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brighton, bloody hell. If you were a Brighton fan on Saturday, oh my God, that was horrendous. Horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked a lot about VAR this season, but that, I cannot, none of it made any sense. You watch it over and over again. And how they made those decisions. They had a clear penalty that wasn't given, wasn't even looked at. They had two goals disallowed. One because it came off Alex McAllister's arse. One because it was on the shoulder of the Japanese guy. I just couldn't understand. They absolutely battered Tottenham.
Yeah.
And the last straw is them all getting sent off on the touchline.
I mean, yeah,
and that Tottenham boss was like literally standing, not doing anything, weren't he? And he said they sent him off as well.
Yeah, they had a row, didn't they? Yeah. I thought they had a row. De Zerbi and was his name Stellini?
Well, he wasn't even involved. He was standing, literally looking away from it, like not getting himself involved, and they sent him off.
Oh, right.
So it was absolute nonsense. Yeah. You know, so how many officials are going to have to get suspended or sacked this season? We've already had a couple who have just not come back. There'll be no officials left at this rate. just the guy who's elbowed a player in the face. I mean, if you had a Scotsman shouting in your ear, you might elbow him in the face, won't you?
Yeah, it was funny. It was weird.
It was funny. Roy Keane was funny as well, weren't he?
Well, I didn't.
Oh, he's a baby. Oh, he's just a baby.
Roy keeps it quite simple, doesn't he?
And So, I mean, if you're Brighton, though, you're absolutely livid. I mean, the same as us against Brentford. Really, you've been denied two perfectly good goals and a penalty, and lost the game. It's just crazy. I don't know how they're gonna do about VAR, because it just doesn't work, does it? I mean, if you look at the statistics, I bet they're probably no better than not having VAR, and the on-field referees don't make decisions anymore. They're just like, no, I'll let it go and see what happens.
I don't know why that if VAR say, just let the ref go, don't let someone in the room make their mind up, just let the ref have a look at it on the TV, like they do with the rugby.
Hmm.
And if he's looked at it and he's gone, oh no, yeah, okay, I've missed that. Yeah, I can see, yeah, I'm happy with that. That is a penalty but do that. Don't let VAR.
But surely you could have like an iPhone on your wrist, couldn't you? You could have like a screen on your wrist, so you don't have to go over to a screen. Or you could just be running around with a phone in your hand, sort of thing, like a device in your hand.
How big do you want that screen on his wrist to fucking be? Like a TV size?
Well, I mean, if you've got an iPhone, everybody in the stand's got a phone, haven't they? And they're looking at it on the phone going, that was a fucking penalty, as soon as it's on Twitter. So just let him look at Twitter. Change his mind.
Yeah.
There should be a little vote, like on the X Factor.
What I'm more saying is that, or just make it clear to like all the fans in there, again, a bit like rugby, you can hear the the video referee in rugby.
Yeah.
They both talk.
So well, there is plans for that next time, isn't there? There is plans.
Yeah, but how are you going to have that, though? Oh, no, I can't allow that penalty. because I've got a tenner on, it's going to be 0-0 at half time.
When yeah, the fun stops, I mean, stop giving just penalties.
Just make it a bit more. More for the fans inside the stadium, because if you're watching it on telly, you're seeing what they're showing.
Yeah.
But at least if you hear the ref go or the VAR room talking to each other, and you can hear them say,
well, we're
checking for a penalty, suspicion of handball.
Yeah.
And then
check over.
Yeah, check over. No, it's not. And the ref, but the ref should go and look at it and decide for himself. Not the VAR room say to him, oh, it's definitely a fucking penalty.
Because, unless you get the official that we
it'd have. It'd be good if he did say things like that. Oh, unless that's definitely a fucking penalty.
Where he turns around and just goes, I'm supposed to do what? What? Draw lines. Oh, no, forget it. I've just forgotten to do that.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Is this a bit like Paintbox?
VAR's corrupt. The officials are corrupt. Just fucking do away with them.
Give them the elbow. So, yeah, that's it. We hate referees, and we're all right. We did all right, though, out of it all.
Yeah, like I say, it's John said it for fucking years, hasn't he? It's corrupt. It's not right. But there just needs to be more clarity. You know, even on the telly, why can't you hear the referee talking to them? You know, make it so that if they're saying stuff, they can be done for it.
It doesn't matter in the end, though, does it? Because, like, literally, they're coming out and apologising to Brighton for two, three big mistakes, which cost them 3 points, effectively, and could put Tottenham into Europe over them.
Yeah.
So it's like, it does make a big difference if you get things wrong. But if you just say sorry, what good does that do anybody? The idea is that you stop the game until you've made the right decision.
If VAR or the referee comes out and says, oh, you know what, I made 3 mistakes. Yeah, there should have been goals. They should order that match replayed. They should just order it replayed. Yeah. You can't be sitting there.
You think of that Sheffield United game where we put the ball in the net.
You can't be sitting there after the fact saying, yeah, you know what, I made a mistake. Sorry. What if someone got relegated on the, yeah, you know what?
Well, they could do.
It's fucking shocking. Literally,
last day of the season, that could happen, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And then you're into like the old court of sporting arbitration and all that bollocks, aren't you? Like there's been before.
Well, like you say, if that was the case at the weekend, the Tottenham game with Brighton, and let's just say that Brighton were fourth from bottom or whatever, but with other results going, and because they lost, they then went into the relegations and went down.
Mm.
With the money that's in the Premier League, fucking hell. You can imagine Brighton going, well, we're going to appeal all those decisions.
Well, it happened with West Ham, weren't it, when they bought Tevez and stuff, and the other teams had got compensation because they illegally got Tevez and Mascherano and stayed up.
That's how important. I mean, and a bit like for us, the Brentford one, where they didn't decide to fucking use the lines to check for offside.
Mm.
Well, Arsenal was a football club. Okay, we've moved on, but if City do win the league by a fucking point, you're going to go, well, that's the 2 fucking points we dropped against fucking Brentford because of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's all relevant.
The thing is, there was still no guarantee we was going to win that match.
No.
You know, there was still a way to play.
No, but obviously, you look at it now.
I accept what you're saying, yes. In an isolated scenario, yes. What my opinion on it is, if the refs have fucked up, and they know they fucked up, don't say anything. It's more of a body blow, more sickening, when they come out and go, yeah, you know what, I ballsed up about that, sorry about that. That's absolutely
Well, they never used to, did they?
It's basically rubbing salt in the wound. You know, yeah, I've cost you points. I'm going to apologise it, but I've just made 50 grand on that match. It's just, you know.
He had a tip off of Ivan Tony. And
honestly.
Ivan Tony told me.
Because there's some fucking pretentious dick who can't do their job properly, apologise for being incompetent, that potentially can cost clubs millions. Well, then they should be sacked on the spot. Yeah. As soon as they say, yes, I've made a mistake, they say, right, you're never going to referee a match ever again in your life.
And you're going to work at McDonald's in Sevenoaks on the roundabout. Yeah. You're going to do the drive-through. And
I'll tell you what else was exciting, though, yesterday. Did you see Wrexham Notts County?
3-2, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. That, what a game. 100 points each. Chasing one place to go into the league. Wrexham 3-2 up, Notts County get a penalty, saved in the 93rd minute.
Oh, dear.
How's that for a Hollywood script? Unbelievable. That is like...
Was that their last game of the season?
I don't think it is. No, it can't. They played 42 games, 43 games.
Yeah, so they got four games left.
Yeah.
It was the head-to-head.
So close.
Yeah.
Very close. Only one pub team can go up, and obviously Wrexham are trying to rebuild their ground and everything, aren't they?
I think two go up, Matt, money. But it's...
Do they?
The champions get promoted, and then the next four go in a playoff.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
And if you finish third, you play one game less in the playoffs than if you finish second or whatever. That's why the guy, my landlady... Well,
there seems to be two lines. There's one between the second and third teams.
Yeah, my landlady's brother's a Chesterfield supporter.
Okay.
He wants Chesterfield to finish third.
Yeah, they're only a point behind Woking.
Yeah.
So, what happens in the four to seven, they play each other. And then the winners play second and third.
I don't know how
like
it works.
It must be something like that, mustn't it?
There's only two that get relegated from League Two. That's all I know. So bottom two.
But yeah, you want to go up as automatic.
Oh, yeah.
In all those. Up here, City.
It looks like Wrexham are going to do it because.
Sorry, John.
City should be 1-0 up here. They've totally ballsed up.
They got the old Bayern Munich game, haven't they?
Because the keeper was just like passing the ball around his penalty area. Haaland's come steaming in. Nearly
is it windy up north, by the way?
No.
You're talking about John again.
No, it's really windy and wet and shit.
Yeah, it's horrible. Right. Absolutely horrible. Yeah. It's on the M1 today. It's like atrocious.
Do you know what? I was going to put some washing out earlier because it was lovely and sunny earlier. The next thing, it was just hammering down the rain.
Right. Yeah, all that aside, let's move on to. I've forgotten the topic of the pops. top of the topics. Topic of the pops.
Okay.
So,
what song you got this week?
Very interesting songs this week. we've got everything from high culture to. Well, I can only describe as ragga. So, Stuart, what's your song for this week?
Well, this is from my daughter Grace because she always commandeers my the media thing in the car whenever
the orcs. She's got she's all over your orcs.
Yeah, she's all over it. And we're driving down, and I'm just listening to this and. She cranks it up so loud. You just go with it. But I always say, well, it's got to be a tune. It's got to be a tune. And this thing came on and I was just chuckling. So, just purely for the fact. It's upbeat.
Lovely upbeat. I mean, highly offensive, probably slightly misogynistic.
it's One Man.
One Man by Gaza Slim.
That's it.
And Gaza Slim. He's never been slim.
No.
And featuring Vibes Cartel. And I imagine they're from like Biggleswade or somewhere like that. somewhere in the home counties. And yours, John, what have you gone for?
Well, as you know, I'm a bit of a lover of the classical music. Today, I was just listening to classic FM as I do when I work at home.
Okay.
And and this came on, so it is Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven.
I mean, you know, this we're going to lose podcast listeners.
Why? Why?
Because I think that the one is extremely left field and the other is too high cultured. But you know,
I'm sure people don't tune in just for the music.
No. I don't know,
because
John.
If you can't
I
afford
that,
a radio,
John,
then
you know. John. Yes. I think that's all they do tune in.
The one person in Australia,
yeah,
was it Texas? Who's the copper?
Daryl. Was he
where's
fireman?
He?
Fireman?
Australia.
Daryl.
I don't know what he is.
He's a fireman. Yeah, I mean, if you do work for the emergency services, then do watch out.
Was that, is Australia? Yeah.
Yeah, do watch out for the Gaza Slim one, because it might get you in trouble with your boss.
I just had like a feeling that he was like a sheriff in a little town in Texas.
That's good, you've got that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether one man for me pum pum is going to go down well with any of the emergency services.
A bit like Longmire. I had the feeling he was like Longmire. If you've never seen the TV show, I suggest you watch it. Lou Diamond Phillips is in it, so.
La Bamba. Right, okay. Now, here's your choices. Who's going first this week?
Me.
You. So your choices, John, are tennis.
No.
Liverpool.
No.
AKA.
No.
Not the machine gun. Or darts.
No.
No darts.
John's not having John's refusing.
He's refused.
I've stalled at them. I've stalled at the first. I'm going to go with darts, even though I don't know anything about the sport.
Oh my God, you must do.
I've got probably more chance of getting more right going for Liverpool than I have for darts.
Well, I'll see how it goes. Because as I said, sometimes when you get these categories, some of the questions are quite basic.
Well, we'll see, shall we?
Right, so question number one on the hockey, John Rubin.
Yes.
Look, quiet, please, ladies and gentlemen. Game on. Question one, what is the highest possible number for the darts player can check out?
170.
Correct. Which Dutchman in 2009 became the first player to throw a nine-dart finish in the PDC Championship match?
Oh, it could be two. I'm going to go for, there's still a chance it'd be Dean two. I'm going to go for Van Gerwen.
Wrong one.
Was it Van Barneveld?
Yeah, Van Barneveld.
Yeah.
Barney. Question number three. Which player won the 2020 PDC World Darts Championship and he has the nickname Snakebite?
Peter Wright.
Correct. What is unusual about the rules of the game as used in the PDC's World Grand Prix?
Is it double start?
It's a double start, correct. Which player has won the BDO World Darts... Which player won the most BDO World Darts Championships?
Eric Bristow.
Correct. Nicknamed Golden Girl, what is the name of the most successful British female darts player of all time?
I can't remember her name.
She got a nine-dart finish, didn't she, recently?
Yeah, I can't remember her name. Don't worry about it.
Stuart?
I can't think either.
It's Trina Gulliver. In 2012, the BDO Darts World Championship was won by an unseeded player, Christian Kist. What nationality is Kist?
Christian Kist?
Yeah.
What did you say again? What's the
In 2012, the BDO World Darts Championship was won by the unseeded player, Christian Kist. What nationality is Kist?
Norwegian.
Ooh, he's Dutch. On a standard dart ball, what's the lowest number that cannot be scored with a single dart? Correct. What is the nickname of the three-time BDO world champion? Good, made me sneeze. Which might be a clue. World champion Martin Adams in the world of darts.
Wolfie.
Wolfie, correct.
I called him something else, beginning with a W, I must admit. But I
and what's the least number of dart throws that a player can check out from?
You mean the lowest 9 darts?
Yeah. Oh, that's a really regret question. You got 7 there.
I didn't understand it at first. I got a bit confused.
The thing is, it said there was a question about 9 dart finishes in the early,
yeah,
the
early
question. So it's a bit of a Joey one, that one, right? So, Stuart.
Yes.
Here's your
I'm not going to be fucking 7.
Here's your full subject.
Well, I'm going to refuse them all.
Sporting scandals. Sporting siblings. Sport on film or celebrities and sport?
Just for the fucking entertainment value, I'm going to go celebrities and sport.
Celebrities and sport.
It's like it's a knockout.
Your 10 questions on celebrities and sport.
The only thing the viewers need, if there is any listeners, listeners, if there are, it means you're going to have to fucking listen through John's shit till you get to one man. Yeah. If I should beat him.
Do not be dissing Beethoven.
He wouldn't hear you anyway, would he? Oh, no, is that Beethoven who was deaf? He wouldn't hear you anyway. Right, so question number one, celebrities and sport. So, Stuart, which chef signed for Glasgow Rangers at the age of 15 but was dropped after he became injured?
Gordon Ramsay.
Correct. Which British artist performed the opening ceremony of the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Moscow? Which British artist performed at the opening ceremony?
Just speak normally, Matt.
Well, I'm doing his accent.
All right.
Which British artist performed at the opening ceremony of the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Moscow?
Fucking hell.
I mean, it was quite famous that he had done it.
I've no idea, Matt.
Okay. John?
Well, yeah. I thought he was going to say Mick Jagger for a minute because I don't know who he's trying to impersonate.
It's Robbie Williams.
Well, so it's nothing like Robbie Williams.
It just sounded like I was from Stoke.
It sounded more like fucking...
Lewis Capaldi.
No, it sounded more like saying off of Pipkins.
Exactly, which is why you might as well just use your fucking own voice.
Yeah, I thought it was Hartley Hare.
What? I mean, you really are pushing up the age limit of our audience with that one. What charity football event which raised funds for UNICEF was initiated by Robbie Williams?
It was Soccer Aid, didn't it?
Correct. Which river did David Walliams swim the length of in 2011? Correct. Of which football club is Prince William an avid supporter?
Aston Villa.
Correct. Which comic starred with former England rugby stars in a TV advert shown during the 2015 Rugby World Cup?
Say that again, Matt. Sorry.
Which comic starred with former England rugby stars in a TV advert shown during the 2015 Rugby World Cup?
Which former rugby star?
No, which comic
starred
with former England rugby stars in the TV advert shown during the 2015 Rugby World Cup?
Some prick with a stupid voice by the sound of
it. Yeah, fucking, that ain't helping, Matt, I must admit.
Isn't it?
No. Because he's probably fucking like... It's probably the Reverend Ian Paisley.
No. I didn't say that.
So which former comic...
No, not former. Which comic?
Which comic?
Starred with former England rugby stars in a TV advert shown during the 2015 Rugby World Cup.
I don't fucking know. The voice is...
You need to stop your impressions, Matt.
Posh comedian. There's only one.
He's already said he doesn't know.
It's Jack Whitehall. Which actor played...
Didn't sound fuck all like him.
Which actor played the role of South African captain Francois Pienaar in the rugby film Invictus?
I know this.
I've not seen it. Oh,
what a goal.
I've no idea. No idea.
Matt Damon.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
What a goal from that cheating bastard, Rodri.
Have they scored, City?
At 30 yards.
Oh, yeah, it's a banger.
Which comedian cycled an open stage of the Tour de France held 2 weeks before the main event in 2007? You could have said he was outnumbered by a good cyclist.
I don't know, Matt.
It's Hugh Dennis. No idea. Hugh Dennis. Which British actor who starred in Snatch represented England at diving at the Commonwealth Games?
I'll go with, what's his name?
Jason
Statham.
Statham. Yes, correct. Jason Statham. Comedian Joe Brand is a big fan and a sponsor of the Matchball.
Domino's pizza.
I think you might have got seven.
No, you got six.
You got six. There you go, then. Here we go, then. The first.
You've got to fucking sit through this.
Yeah, the wonderfully. I mean, if you're trying to get to sleep tonight, then good luck, because here we go.
Just stop the podcast here.
Or just let the old Moonlight Sonata let you drift away. And we'll be back up. You can start the podcast tomorrow morning. Here you go. It's Moonlight Sonata.
Culture.
Great band. So, what do we think? West Ham. It's got to be all 3 points, isn't it? It can't be anything less.
Well, really. Yeah, we've got to, but I watched the one in midweek. We were playing Paul, and at Newcastle. My God.
Yeah, they could
be. I think if we just.
Good old Fabianski.
I think if we just. If we just set our stall out like we did at Anfield.
Yeah.
I don't see the fight from West Ham like Liverpool.
Yeah.
So if we can start
make a
well,
quick start.
Yeah, if we can start well, we've got the week off again, haven't we? So yeah. It's not like we can't prepare properly for it. I don't think we've picked up any injuries, or you know, we can go again with the same, this sort of similar lineup. Maybe he might bring Trossard in if he fancies changing it up a little bit, but I don't think there's anything to sort of worry on, is there? As in, I'll be quietly confident. Like I say, I don't
think
we're
quite good
at
that 2 o'clock slot as well, aren't we?
Well,
Sunday.
And how many London derbies we had? We had 11 and we've won 10, or we've played 10 and we've won 9.
There's only the Brentford one, really, that we didn't win, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only the draw with Brentford, but we're unbeaten in... And I don't... you want us to bounce back. I don't think we'll batter them, but I do think we'll win there. I do think we'll win.
What do you reckon then, Stuart? What sort of score?
I'll go 2-0 Arsenal.
OK. John?
It's difficult, because I don't know much. I mean, I won't have a clue, because I'm playing darts at the weekend. But... Right.
Where are you playing darts, John?
Warwick University is a national regional competition, so I'll be representing East Midlands for the second time. So since my move up here, but it's tough. West Ham are no fools, you know, and they do have the ability if they put their heads to it. Like Stuart, it will be close. I wouldn't be surprised if we got a draw. All I'd like is to get a win. So I'm going to say 4-0 Arsenal.
I just knew that was coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say 3-0. I don't think they're going to score against us. I'm touching wood here, but I honestly...
We don't need to know about that.
It's because of me. I'll be getting ready for me pum-pum.
Me pum-pum, yeah. 1 month.
One man. Right, so, there you go. That's I think, pretty comprehensively, we think we're going to win. All you can hope is that Man City slip up. They didn't have a great game against Leicester last time, although they are at home. But you just think... It's not going to be.
We know they're 1-0 up at the moment against Bayern.
Hmm.
A lot depends.
You know,
the
weird thing is with this result, you kind of think, do we want Bayern to turn them over so they would be in the doldrums, or do we just want them to go all out and get knackered, and then be too preoccupied with the Champions League? It's when you win. You have all that momentum and all that winning mentality. Yeah. And it's like, they will be preoccupied.
What we want is for them to go out in the next... We want them to lose the next game against Bayern. Because really all we need is to...
Yeah, but do we?
For them to be shit against us. So it's... To me, they can be good for the rest of the season. But if we've beaten them because they've lost all their mojo... And got out of the Champions League.
What you really want tonight's game to be is to be
sort of on a knife edge.
A draw.
You want Dolph Lundgren to get a leg breaker.
Rodrigo to get a fucking... Tell you what, you want Rodri to have his neck snapped by Serge Gnabry.
Preferably Silva as well, because he seems to have been our little nemesis over the last few years.
Yeah,
I'd like to see Serge do an RKO on Rodri. That would cheer me up no end. I was stone cold stunner. But Gundogan should have scored there. What a mug.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. But it's in their own hands. At the end of the day, it's still in our hands.
Yeah.
It's ours to lose. And probably will, but it's... if we win all our 8 games, we've won the league. That's it. You know, it's just the way it works.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. And that's how they've got to look at it. And I'm sure they that's how they've looked at it on Sunday, and it weren't to be. But, yeah, we got tricky games. We all know that. And same for City, though. Like I say, I don't think this is cut and dried yet. It's still there. But, yeah, a couple of leg breakers tonight wouldn't be a bad thing, would it?
Well, just some injuries, yeah. Just some indiscipline or some sort of something that makes you kind of question whether they've really got the heart for it.
Yeah, I think if you could.
And, you know, with these games being back, it does kind of. They do start to pile up when they've got the semi final of the FA Cup
Can I just say something? The one thing that we didn't mention during our summing up of the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
When. Who went clean? Martinelli could have put Saka clean through.
Yeah.
Mm.
Literally, that was pretty much missed on Match of the Day. But honestly, you think half a yard.
Saka very close.
It would have been over. I know when it was going back, but I just see a similar thing just here. And you kind of think, that was a real gutter, that was. But, you know. I'm not going to harp back. I'm just going to think about Moonlight Sonata now anyway. So.
that's been and gone, John. You've got to get ready for your
it's
one man.
In my brain.
One man.
All the way from the hard streets of Bedfordshire. It's Biggles Wade's finest. I've forgotten the title already. Gaza Slim featuring Vibes Cartel and One Man. Have a good week, everybody.
Introducing Vanessa Bling as Gaza Slim. Feed the girl them what tell them man say.
Me na go gitwe never, never gitwe. Me say da pussya. Dedicated to the man, my love. Baby, me no one, no other man. One man, to my pum pum, yeah. 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 One man, me say. With a big long john, me say. Every day, every night. Me do it good, me do it right. Me protect my man and protect myself. No boy can laugh off of my boyfriend. Them things them me give her the pussy easy. Me laugh off of them. Me no frightened for money. Me no frightened for bling. No waste of time calling. Y'all gonna hear the same fucking thing. That pussy, yeah. Dedicated to the man when me love. Baby, me no one, no other man. One man. To my pum pum, yeah, 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 one man.
One man, she know I'm more man. Coulda Christian Buster, coulda more man. Coulda middle class rich man, coulda poor man. Coulda juvenile young boy, coulda old man. All when your money's wrong like Hulk Hogan. Money something not a program.
Them things that me give her the pussy easy. Me laugh off at them. Me no frightened for money. Me no frightened for bling. No waste of time calling. Y'all gonna hear the same fucking thing. That pussy, yeah. Dedicated to the man when me love. Baby, me no one, no other man. One man, to my pum pum, yeah. One man, to my pum pum, yeah. One man, to my pum pum, yeah. One man. Boom, boom, yeah, one man.
Introducing Vanessa Bling as Gaza Slim. Hey, the girl them will tell them man say.
Me na go gitwe never, never gitwe. Me say da pussy ya. Dedicated to the man when me love. Baby, me no one, no other man. One man. Pum pum yeah, one man. To my pum pum yeah, one man. To my pum pum yeah, one man. To my pum pum yeah, one man. One man me say, with a big long john me say. Every day, every night. Me do it good, me do it right. Me protect my man and protect myself. No boy can lie.